Bristow by Frank Dickens, with Michael Williams as Bristow and Rodney Bewes as Jones. Follow That Star.
Napoleon once said, "An army marches on its stomach." But if you ask me, the fellow was talking through his chapeau, because he hadn't tried our chef's beef Wellington. This is designed to anchor us firmly to our office desks, and the only time we do marching is when we do something wrong, and we get our marching orders. The subject of food was very close to our minds then, when Jones and I were on our way to the firm's three-star canteen one day. 3 stars. Oh, that's a laugh. They owe me that canteen. If it weren't for me, they wouldn't have 3 stars in the firm's canteen good food guide. It was Friday lunchtime.
Bristow, we must be out of our minds eating here. We're handing them back the money we slave all week for. And the food isn't worth it. Mr. Gordon Blue, the chef, takes the best stuff home.
No, nonsense. The best stuff is the food that covers the firm's name on the plate. In any case, he only takes it because he has a wife and 5 starving children to support. On the Monday of the following week, I got out of bed and went across to the window. The view from this window is positively breathtaking. Far away to my left, I can see the Chester Perry building, like a matchbox on the horizon. And far away to my right, what appears to be a toy train steaming into a miniature station. Holy mackerel! It's the 8:15 commuter special! Late again! Wow, am I late? I'm so late I've even missed the late crowd. I'm with the so late it's hardly worth going in for brigade. Morning, Mr. Stationmaster.
Morning, sir.
You do run trains during the day, I suppose. During the time people are working in offices and so on. The rails are still being used, kept nice and shiny, as it were. Somebody once told me that railway lines weren't safe unless you could see your face in them. Anything in that?
Here comes a train now, sir. Allow me, sir.
Very kind of you. Very kind. Thank you.
Are you comfortable, sir?
Yes, thank you. Ready when you are, Captain.
I'll change!
There it is. The Chester Perry building. I can't understand, Sir Reginald. He has his name written right across the front of the building, but it's too low down. We ought to have it higher up, across the top, where it can be seen from miles away. The R.L. Chester Perry Company. P.S., if you can read this, you are too close.
Excuse me, sir. Do you work for this company?
Of course I do. Can't you tell by the pallid face, the nervous twitch and the jerky movements? The Chester Perry trademark. Why do you ask?
Oh, I hope you don't mind my asking, but is the canteen inside the building?
Depends what's on the menu. If they're cooking anything with garlic in it, we seal the place off. May I ask why the interest?
I'd like to go for a meal there.
Oh, funny. Don't look like a head case. Although, from the side, there is a hint of village idiot.
Would you like a punch on the jaw?
Oh, you're a hothead. You're wasting your time trying to get into the canteen if you were a hothead. If you take offence at a little thing like that, you wouldn't last 5 minutes.
Huh?
You wouldn't get past the condiments. It's James Cagney in prison land in there. Long tables in the big hall, atmosphere, fights and scuffles breaking out every few seconds. And that's before the flavour of the food gets through to everyone.
Do they pay you to go round upsetting people?
They don't pay us full stop. Still, there's talk of some money when our ship comes in, and there's a hint of holidays and a rumour of good times being just around the corner. So it's better than a job with no prospects at all. Well, it's been nice meeting you, so I'll say goodbye and good luck.
Oh, wait a minute. I am B.J. Bothwick, an inspector for the firm's Canteen Good Food Guide, and my magazine want me to do a write-up of the Chester Perry restaurant. Well, can you help? I'll make it worth your while.
Look, I can't stop now. Meet me at lunchtime round the back by the dustbins. You can't miss them. We have hundreds of them. We have dustbins like other firms have hot dinners.
Morning, Jones.
You've missed the best bit. Fudge had Hewitt in a corner, chased him across to the filing cabinet, then back to the window, shouting at the top of his voice all the time.
Wall-to-wall carpeting, eh? Listen, Jones, I met a man outside just now who wants to eat in the firm's canteen.
He can't.
What do you mean, he can't?
Just that. He can't. Outsiders are not allowed.
Are you telling me that if I had someone important come to see me and it was lunch hour, I couldn't take him into the canteen? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not saying it. It's rules. The canteen is for employees. Otherwise, we'd have every Tom, Dick and Harry in there. And since when have you known anyone important? Fudge wants me. Oh, it's so long since he called me into his office, I've forgotten how to arrange my features. What sort of expression shall I go in with?
Contrite is best. He doesn't shout so much as contrition. Hello? What's this written in the dust on my desktop? Tom Woods, caretaker, wishes to meet Florrie Desmond of the cleaning staff. Object, friendship, stroke, marriage. He's incorrigible, that Tom. 8 hours to go. 8 hours. That's 648 minutes. 60 times 648 is 38,800. And 80 seconds to go. 38,808 seconds to go. One, two, three, four. Jones, you better sit down. What on earth is the matter? You look dazed. What on earth did Fudge say?
He didn't say much. I bumped my head on the doorframe as I was backing out.
What did he want?
Have we got a paint shop?
Yes, on the other side of the yard, next to the garage.
Do you know a Reg Pothelthwaite?
Yes, very thin. Slate grey hair, porcelain blue eyes, silver birch moustache and a pale pink complexion. You won't have any problem recognising him. Here's a colour chart.
Bristow, the other day I decided to take stock of my life. I stood in front of the mirror and took a long, searching look at myself.
And your conclusions?
None, whatsoever. I couldn't see myself properly. My eyes were too full of tears. Because all I am at this firm is a messenger boy. I've got to take this order down to Postlethwaite in the paint shop and wait for an answer. I ask you, what kind of job is that for a grown man? It isn't as if I don't try. If ever there was a company man, it's me. I love this company. Bristow, if I should ever quit and go abroad to seek my fortune, think only this of me. There is some corner of a foreign firm that is forever Chester Perry's.
87, 88, 89. Jones, about that matter of the firm's canteen, are there rules about taking people in?
Of course, there are rules. And the barbed wire and the Alsatian dogs are there to enforce the rules. That's all I am to this firm. A messenger boy. Why, he can't pick up a phone and talk to the man himself.
103, 104. Daily things? I wonder whether you can help. I am a regular reader of your excellent newspaper, but that is, I was a regular reader until I fell upon hard times. Get to the point? I'm getting to the point. Can someone read out the Sitz Vac pages? Hello? Hello? Hello?
Morning, Mr. Bristow.
Hewitt!
What's
up? Oh, you frightened the life out of me with that pink shirt and pink tie. I thought for a second it was a plunging neckline.
Mr. Bristow, can I ask you a question?
If it's the question I think it is, my answer is that when you're older, you realise all the time I'm sitting here, apparently doing nothing, I'm chipping away at the establishment.
That wasn't the question. I was going to ask if you've been at the same desk ever since you've been here.
The answer is no. It was over in that corner until the great tea trolley disaster. After that, everyone in the building was shuffled around. Listen, Hewitt, I met a man outside this morning who wants to have lunch in our canteen.
He can't.
What do you mean he can't?
Isn't there some rule against it? I think there is. I believe those bouncers at the entrance are there to stop that sort of thing. Tea and cakes are on you today.
Since when?
Since we had a bet yesterday for 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000 pounds and I won.
1,000,000,000,000,000,000 pounds?
And I won.
Fancy you remembering that.
Come and get it.
Good Lord. Mrs. Dimple at the canteen. What are you doing here? Where's Mrs. Purdy?
On holiday. I'm her stand-in.
Oh, are you really? Let me taste your wares. In my opinion, Mr. Hewitt, you can tell a lot about a tea lady by the first sip. You were born under the sign of Aquarius, the water carrier.
Why are you stirring it as fast as that?
It's a new theory of mine. I'm hoping the centrifugal force will drive any flavour that's in it to the outside.
Mr. Bristow, judging by last week's bill, I assume you had a rough week.
Mm.
Monday, tea and cakes. Tuesday, tea and cakes and a sedative. Wednesday, tea and a sedative. Thursday, tea and a sedative. Friday, tea and a sedative.
Let me see that. How much? Have you a sedative on the trolley?
Before you came in, Mr. Bristow was telling me he has invited someone for lunch in the firm's canteen.
He can't do that. It's against the rules. You should know that. And the first rule when you get a job with the Chester Perry Company is that you have to cut yourself off from the outside world.
News to me.
It's the small print. Comes out to renouncing all pleasures of the flesh.
I didn't know that either. I'd like to see a copy of these rules.
You're not allowed to.
Rule three.
Hard act to follow.
Hard act to follow without slipping up. I don't know what you noticed, but a tea urn was leaking. As I was saying before we were so rudely interrupted, this man who wants to have lunch in the canteen works for the firm's canteen good food guide, and he wants to do a write-up.
Mr. Bristow, if you'll take my advice, you'll have nothing to do with him. I'm going to check on these rules.
Buying department, can I help you? No, Mr. Simpson is one of our salesmen. He doesn't work in the building. What's today? Wednesday? Today he'll be starting his time calls. I don't know whether he'll be calling on Snowgrove and Ashton. I know that he'll be calling on the Dog and Duck, the Queen's Elm, the Belsize Tavern, the Windsor Castle. Hello? Be like that, then. Now then, where was I? About this man, Alice.
Sorry, Mr. Bristow, I don't want to get involved. I've got work to do.
Cash.
Morning, Mr. Bristow. Morning, Mr. Hewitt.
No, don't shut it, I'm going. See you later.
Well, Miss Sandman, and how can I help you?
I just thought you might like to know that the collection for Mr. Radford's retirement came to £125.
Oh, yeah, £125 for 10 years' work, eh?
Mm.
5 days a week, less holidays, less public holidays and Christmas. Yes, it bears out the old Chester Perry maxim. He shall have but a penny a day. That's most interesting. And has cheered up what so far has been an uneventful morning. In return, let me ask you a question. Suppose, and I know this is stretching the imagination to the point of incredulity here, just suppose you were married.
Yes, Mr. Bristow.
And your husband called on you just before lunchtime. Would you take him to the canteen?
Oh, the firm's canteen? Mm. Would I take him to the firm's canteen?
If he was hungry, very hungry, like ravenous, like he hadn't eaten for days.
The firm's canteen?
If he was weak from hunger, begging for food, and the firm's canteen was, well, where it is, and there was nowhere else to go.
Well, I suppose if there was nowhere else to go, and he is hungry, as you say, yes, I suppose I'd take him there.
But suppose the rule said you can't. You're not allowed to take outsiders into the canteen.
Then I'd tell him you'll have to wait till we get home.
Oh, Miss Sulman, he'll never make it home. He's dying of hunger. The canteen is the only one thing that can save him. Would you break the rule?
I know.
Go on, yes, go on.
I'd say wait there, and I'd go into the canteen, and I'd get a takeaway.
Forget it.
But...
It's not important. Now tell me the real reason you came in here. It wasn't to tell me about Radford's retirement collection, was it? Tell me the truth.
I wondered whether you'd finished with your newspaper.
Oh, you surprise me, Miss Sumlin. I wouldn't have said you were the type that ever read a newspaper. Take it.
Thank you. I like this one. On every page there's something about love.
Oh, I think you are confused. This is a businessman's newspaper. High finance, wheeling and dealing.
I know.
I read between the lines. Bye.
Oh. 386. 387.
Morning, Mr. Burr.
Morning, postboy.
Can I ask you a question?
Fire away.
Considering the way you speak about the firm, why do you have a picture of the Chester Perry building on the wall behind you?
Psychology.
Psychology?
Yeah. Every time I look over my shoulder, I think I'm on my way home.
Mr. Bristow, what's it like to live a mundane existence?
Oh, how should I know? Stuck in the office all day. Here, postboy, let me pick your brains. What do you know about the canteen? Do you ever eat there?
Do I ever go to the canteen?
Mm.
The canteen here?
Yes.
Are you kidding? I'm surprised it's still open.
Why's that?
Got no stars, has it? No stars, no rosettes, no recommendations, no awards, nothing. And you know why?
Mm.
That chef is a quack. He doesn't know his duck à l'orange from his filet de sole bon fan.
Ah.
That canteen is a no-no, a nothing. A blot on the gastronomic landscape. Of course I don't go there. You go there.
I'm going there today with an inspector from the firm's canteen good food guide. 422.
You're wasting your time, Mr. B. Both your time and his time. And you're wasting your money. Because it's not cheap. They say it's cheap. They say it's subsidised. But you still pay through the nose.
Mm.
It costs an arm and a leg to eat there, and you still come out ravenous. And you know why that is?
No.
It's because they don't want you falling asleep at your desk in the afternoon.
Yeah.
They want you to be alert and on your toes. They give you little portions, but they dress them up to look big. All that bechamel sauce. Bleh. All that chestnut puree. Double. Bleh. And who's to blame?
Mm.
The management, of course. If they wanted to do this firm a favour, they should round up all the kitchen staff, march them out into the yard and... and after that, hire a new lot. Then, and only then, with new faces and new ideas, would it start making money. And, more important, give value for money. And that's what it's all about, Mr. B. Value.
You've obviously given this matter a great deal of thought.
Thought? I can't think, Mr. B. I'm only a postboy. We don't think. We just run around delivering letters. We aren't capable of thinking or thought. We aren't paid to think.
Ah. 4,110. 4,111. 4,112.
The morning passed, and as soon as I heard the firing of the starting pistol signifying the lunch break, I ran downstairs and, using one of the many escape tunnels, found myself in the yard. There was no way of getting out into the street without being strip-searched by the security people, and because they locked the gates as soon as the staff were inside in the morning, it was impossible to get to the dustbins on the other side of the wall. I therefore had to take a chance. The wind being in the right direction, I was quickly able to pick up the scent of that day's first attempt at filet de bœuf mignon with pommes frites from the dustbin area, and was standing by the wall on the other side to that of the man I had come to meet. Psst! Psst!
Hello?
Is anyone over there?
Yes.
Is it Mr. Bothwick?
Yes.
I can't hear you. Can you stand on the dustbin?
How's that?
Are you all right? Knock three times on the dustbin if you hear me. Twice on the lid if the answer is no.
I'm okay.
I can't hear you.
How's that?
Yeah, well, excellent. I'm afraid there's no way they will let strangers into the canteen. Sorry.
Oh, but I've been hanging around all morning.
When I said there's no way, there is a way, but is this report you're going to write important?
Indeed so. It's the first time I've been able to give a star rating and therefore means a great deal.
I have worked out a way to get you inside, but it's complicated.
Well, let's do it.
It's not straightforward.
It doesn't matter. Let's go.
It means you'll have to come down this side of the wall.
Well, stand back. I'll jump down.
You're all right.
I think so. Oh, nothing broken anyway. my suit's in a bit of a state.
That won't show when you've got these overalls on.
Overalls?
It's the only way you'll ever get in. They run a pretty tight ship here. You've got to have a good excuse. If you're caught hanging around the yard, the bunches will be on us like a ton of bricks.
Well, whose overalls are they?
That's not important. Put them on.
I hope this is necessary. These overalls are rather tight. The owner must be a very small man.
Of course, if you don't want to.
All right, sir. Let's just get on with it, shall we?
Here's the hat.
But that's a dustman's hat.
That's right. Now pick up the bin and follow me.
Pick up a dustbin? Certainly not.
Now, let's get it clear. You want to get into the canteen, don't you?
Oh, yes, but... Oh, all right. Oh.
Come on. It's lunch hour. We'll get into trouble if we're not back at our desks by two.
Don't see what the dustbin has got to
if
do.
If we're caught, I'm going to say you were left behind by the other dustman. I've got to cover my tracks as well, you know. I'm going out on a limb for you, and I don't even know you.
Grateful.
That first bit was quite simple. Phase two is slightly more complicated. When whoever it is opens the door to let us in, we negotiate with them to borrow one of the canteen waitress coats that are hanging on the wall. Here we go.
Negotiate with them to borrow a canteen waitress coat?
The white things. You must have seen them before. You're in the catering game.
Yes, miss.
Good gracious. Leg of lamb and cabbage bristle are fine, isn't it? What are you doing round the back?
I was passing and I heard cries of distress. Upon investigation, I found it to be this gentleman. He had unfortunately been left behind by his fellow dustman.
How could he be left behind?
Tell her!
It was dusty, very dusty.
That's right. I had a job to see him myself. There was that much dust.
Well, he can't come in here in those clothes. Mr. Gordon Blue is very particular about his kitchens. He don't want any dustmen traipsing about.
Of course not. But I see on the wall behind you some waitress coats. Perhaps he could borrow one of those to pass through the kitchen. Is that possible? Please.
I really don't know whether I should. I think he should wash his hands before he even thinks of handing our nice white coats. Just look at the state of them. I thought dustmen were supposed to wear rubber gloves in the execution of their duties.
It's all his fault they're like this.
It's not my fault you fell off the wall.
Oh, pass me the coat.
Not with hands like that. What's wrong with the tap on the garage wall?
Mrs. Gimble, you are a star. Come this way, Bothwick. Hands out. Ready, steady.
You turn it off.
Didn't that hurt your foot?
No. Years of kicking itinerant radiators have rendered it immune to pain.
I'm soaked right through.
Don't worry. You'll soon dry out. We'll have the steak flambéed at the table. Once we get you inside, everything will be fine. All we need now is an ID badge.
An ID badge?
And the man who can supply that very thing is standing over there, forlorn, outside the paint shop. I give you Mr. Jones.
Bristow? Is that you, Bristow?
Jones? What are you doing here?
I'm still waiting to get an answer from Reg Postlethwaite of the paint shop.
Ah, he of the silver birch moustache and porcelain pink. Have you been waiting all this time?
Over an hour. He's been in conference. Fudge doesn't think about these things when he's...
Who is this chap?
Who's your dustman friend?
He's not a dustman.
How silly of me. He's dressed in dustman's clothes and carrying a dustbin, so I assumed he was a dustman. Sorry.
Is it absolutely necessary to waste time like this?
Tut, tut. He's got a nasty temper, your friend.
He's had a trying day. Left behind by the other dustman. Unwanted, unloved.
I'm not surprised. Temper like that.
He's a hothead, Bristow.
Would you like a punch on the nose?
And violent with it.
He can't come in here. We don't want any rough stuff in our canteen. Our customers come in for a bit of peace and quiet over lunchtime.
I think security should be informed.
Jones, we don't want security. We'd like to borrow your ID badge for a few minutes. I'm trying to get my friend into the canteen.
Is this the chap you were talking about this morning?
Yes. He wants to do a write-up of the firm's canteen.
Lend this thug my ID? Mm. Are you kidding? I think we should blow the whistle on him this minute.
I think you ought to stay out of things. You've caused enough trouble as it is.
There's gratitude.
Mrs. Dimple, call security.
I already have. At the first sign of violence, I'll press the button.
Violence?
You clenched your fists. I recognise the stages. I weren't born yesterday. They'll be here in a minute.
My God, I don't want to be involved. Get me out of here. It's a madhouse. Somebody get me out of here. I'll give you a star in the food guide.
Call off one of the dogs.
2 stars in the guide.
Call off 2.
3 stars.
3.
We don't go higher than 3.
What do you think, Jones? Escape tunnel.
Escape tunnel it is.
Follow me.
So that's how we came to get 3 stars. And the nice thing is that they've tightened up on security since then, and no one will ever get in to dispute it.
Bristow was written by Frank Dickens and featured Michael Williams as Bristow, Rodney Bewes as Jones, Christopher Benjamin as Bothwick, Owen Brenman as Hewitt, Katie Odie as Miss Sunman, John Glover as the Station Master, Simon Schatzberger as the Postboy, with Sheila Reed as Mrs. Dimple. Music was composed and performed by John Whitehall. The sound recording was by Graham Harper. The director, Neil Cargill.